It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the Navy's troubled littoral combat vessel program and connections to a shipyard in Wisconsin. As the Navy announced the decommissioning of the USS Milwaukee this month, bidding farewell to the ship in a ceremony in Florida. Be part of the conversation by calling in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Joaquin Sapien is a reporter for ProPublica. Joaquin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good morning. Starting with the USS Milwaukee, decommissioned 8 years after it was built for $500 million in Marinette, Wisconsin. Why is the Navy removing this littoral combat ship and others from its fleet?
So the Navy's decided that the Freedom Class littoral combat ships, of which the USS Milwaukee is a part, are not really going to help it meet its top line needs, which are to prepare for a potential fight against the Chinese Navy. And in particular, the Navy has decided that because of the failures in the anti-submarine warfare package, that the USS Milwaukee and other Freedom Class ships were supposed to have, because of those the failures in that package, that the ship is just not going to do enough good. It's not going to have enough fight in it for its top line priority. There's also a number of mechanical issues on these Freedom Class ships involving the combining gear, which is a really complex and important mechanism that connects the diesel engines to the propulsion shafts and helps it reach its top speeds. There's been really serious issues in that gear, and they're expensive to fix. And even though they've come up with a fix for those, the expense of it has contributed to that decision as well. So essentially, the Navy's decided that it's better off spending the money elsewhere. So right now, there are several Freedom Class ships that are scheduled for decommissioning, and the Navy also wants to decommission a couple of the Independence variant as well.
We're going to rewind here to the early 2000s. The Navy contracts with two American shipyards to build these combat ships, and one of them was in Alabama, other in Marinette, Wisconsin, and its Italian subsidiary, Fincantieri. What problems did the Navy experience with these ships, particularly the ones built here in Wisconsin?
So there were a range of problems. Like I had mentioned earlier, the mechanical difficulties on the Freedom were a major issue. There's a part called the combining gear that the Navy had a lot of difficulty with in trying to get the ship to reach its top speeds. It would frequently break down. And the Milwaukee, for instance, when it first left the shipyard, was supposed to go to eventually San Diego as its home port, with stops along the way in Mayport, Florida, then going through the Panama Canal and onto California and out to the South China Sea. And unfortunately, it broke down not even halfway, just outside of Virginia, about 40 miles off the coast, and it had to be towed in by a salvage ship. And that was just the first of several breakdowns that occurred around that same time between 2015 and 2016. There was also a breakdown out in Singapore on the USS Fort Worth, which was another Freedom Class ship. And in that instance, the ship was being sort of was being pushed really hard, and the sailors on it were exhausted, and they had failed to lubricate the combining gear before turning it on, which caused some serious damage and required repairs for some 7 months. And then after that, there was another ship, the USS Freedom, which was the first in that class, which had broken down during the Rim of the Pacific exercise in San Diego, which is a hugely important exercise involving Navy's all over the world. A leak sprung out of the main machinery room and sprayed on the electric equipment and caused really serious problems that required that engine to eventually be replaced. And those were just three of many, many more breakdowns that occurred on those vessels. And in addition to that, you know, the original idea was that the ship was going to be modular in nature and could switch weapons packages depending on the mission. So it was supposed to be able to do mine warfare, hunt and detect underwater mines. It was supposed to be able to fight against submarines. And it was supposed to be able to do anti-surface warfare against other warships. And unfortunately, you know, two of those three weapon systems, never came to fruition. One of them, the mine warfare, there is still under development, and the anti-submarine warfare, the Navy just gave up on altogether. And so now they're just single mission ships.
I think you wrote about the USS Milwaukee. Its worst enemy would be its own engine. And as you say, you know, you had these frustrated scores of sailors on these ships expressing frustration because they spent more time fixing the ships than sailing them. When ships spend long periods of time docked for repairs, how does that affect the careers of the personnel assigned to them?
Yeah, that's an important question. So, you know, originally the Navy had sort of sold these ships as being the future of the Navy and made it seem really exciting for sailors and officers to serve on them, in part because the crew sizes were so small and the deployment schedules were supposed to be very aggressive. And so the idea was that they were going to, you know, sort of give the people on board them opportunities that they wouldn't have otherwise. Unfortunately, what happened was that the ships were broken down so often that the sailors and officers spent more time trying to fix them than they did taking them to sea. And that's a real problem if you're a young surface warfare officer looking to climb the ranks, because you need those hours at sea in order to, you know, gain necessary experience for promotions. And so a number of the officers and sailors that I spoke to said that their careers really suffered as a result of having been assigned to this particular ship, because as I said, you know, they weren't able to take them out to sea. Not only that, but they really weren't even allowed to fix certain parts of the ship because of the way that the contracts were arranged with the contractors that built the ship.
And we're going to look more closely at the contractors with ProPublica reporter Joaquin Sapien, our guide to the breakdowns in the Navy's littoral combat ship program that was supposed to launch this branch of the military into the future, ties to a shipyard in Wisconsin. You can share what you wonder about this investigative reporting. Call in with a question. Add your perspective at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new report from ProPublica is an in-depth look at the Navy's littoral combat ship program and the costly phase-out of these vessels, some built at a shipyard in Wisconsin. You can join the discussion. Call in with the question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. We have Joaquin Sapien, a reporter at ProPublica. Joaquin, you report that this program faced criticism, including from the late Arizona Senator John McCain. Why was funding continued while these reports of engine and system failures kept piling up?
One of the things that we learned was that even when a program of this scale has really serious problems, once they're sort of started, they can be very, very difficult to stop. And part of the reason why is because these shipyards that produce these ships as well as the places that produce parts for the ships, provide jobs. And lawmakers that represent those districts fight really hard to keep those jobs in place. And so certainly what we found in this particular instance is that delegations in both Alabama and Wisconsin wanted to make sure that the program stayed alive and that the Navy keep producing these ships, even when they had serious problems. The other part of that is that, you know, within the Navy itself and within the Pentagon, there were very dogged, you know, champions that believed in this program in spite of its flaws. And people wind up kind of staking their careers on these particular ships. And so they will fight against great odds to make sure that the program continues. And that's what we found in the case of this particular ship. So between, you know, the high-ranking officers in the Navy, in this case, we had CNO Vernon Clark, who first envisioned the ship, as well as Navy Secretary Ray Mabus, who kind of took up the mantle later on in 2009 through 2016, and the lawmakers in both Wisconsin and Alabama, they were able to preserve this program. And, you know, at one point, the Navy decided it only wanted 32 of these ships, down from the original more than 50, but they still got wound up with 35 because Congress essentially forced them to build three more.
And I want to stop you there at Congress, because in 2017, we have Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin writing a letter to then President Donald Trump suggesting they could work together to get more littoral combat ships built. What was the result of Baldwin's advocacy?
So, yeah, at that time, you know, the Navy was looking to slow down the program significantly. They said that, you know, 32 of these ships would be enough. And in 2017, they submitted in the budget a request for only one littoral combat ship. And Senator Baldwin, as you mentioned, wrote to President Trump. There were others who also leaned on him, and he ultimately made a decision that really shocked the defense community to add one more ship to the budget at a pretty late stage after it had already been sent to Congress. And so ultimately, from there on, they added three more ships, and the Navy got 35 as opposed to 32.
You sought comment from Senator Baldwin. What did she say?
She said she was very proud to represent the shipyard, and she said that, you know, she believed strongly that this ship was going to help the Navy meet its needs. And so it was her obligation to advocate for it.
We're talking about the littoral combat ships built for the U.S. Navy. With ties to Wisconsin, ProPublica investigative reporter Joaquin Sapien is with us. You can join in with your questions, your comments, 800-642-1234. Joaquin, what does the Navy do with ships it doesn't wish to keep maintaining and operating?
So it goes through a process called decommissioning, and that means that the ship is basically taken offline and into a graveyard, and they have those graveyards all throughout the country for ships that no longer are in the fleet. And so, you know, my understanding is that some of the LCS are located in a town called Bremerton, and at a shipyard there, and that, you know, that's they're basically going to just be sitting there until the Navy figures out what to do with them. The Navy might try and sell some of these LCS, and so we'll have to see how successful they are in doing that.
This week, the $826 billion defense appropriations bill is scheduled to come to the House floor for a vote. How closely do members of Congress scrutinize spending on these specific military programs at this point in the process?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a pretty you know, the Defense Department is asking for a lot of money this year, $842 billion. They'll probably wind up with quite a bit more than that once it goes through Congress. And, you know, we're not far off from $1 trillion a year defense budget, which is almost half of the federal government's discretionary spending. And so there's a lot of programs to fund within the military. It's obviously a massive organization. And typically, there's not a lot of time spent on weapon systems like the LCS that have also cost a lot of money, but haven't actually produced. And so, you know, we'll see. But I'd be very surprised if this ship program, you know, comes up in some of the discussions around whatever that final number should be.
We're in our last 30 seconds together. You mentioned this mantra, though, in your piece, buy a few, test a lot. Is that something that we should take away here?
I think that's a pretty key point, especially when you're investing in relatively unproven technology. That has long been a cardinal principle when it comes to Navy shipbuilding, that it's important to basically know what you're buying and to test drive it. And in this instance, the Navy did the opposite. I mean, they started off with just a few ships, with two coming out of Alabama and two coming out of Wisconsin. But then they made a decision to buy essentially 20 at once, 10 out of Alabama and 10 out of Wisconsin. And so they really did the opposite.
Joaquin, and they, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing your reporting.
Thank you for having me.
Joaquin Sapien is a reporter at ProPublica. We have a link to his reporting at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.